What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And on today's show, joined by one of the original members of the show, John Kegley, gets in with us to share his expertise. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BuiltBar.com, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You guys can go to BuiltBar.com right now and save $10 off your first order with the promo code Locked On. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, first, let me just start by saying you might be confused as to why there was no show yesterday. We thought there would be a show, but this is actually considered our off-season now. So from now until July 13th, we will be coming to you on a three-day-a-week basis. I think most of the weeks we'll do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday show so we can kind of space it out for you guys and you don't have to go too long. But in the meanwhile, on the days that you don't hear the Locked On Chargers podcast, every single day we will send a news update to all Google smart devices. If you ask your Google smart device, what's the news? If you follow the Chargers, you should get a clip, a 5-minute or 1-minute clip from us, giving you the most up-to-date parts of the Chargers day. So we highly encourage you to do that, especially if you are fiending for more Chargers content on the days we're off. But we do have a super packed show for you guys today, because we have Anthony Lynn coming out with some very powerful commentary with LZ Granderson of the Los Angeles Times, talking about everything that's going on in the country right now and really speaking up. And I thought he had some very interesting things to say. So we'll start with that before getting into the ways the Chargers can have a winning season. There's a Bolt Beat article talking about the four biggest ways the Chargers could have a winning season in 2020. And then in the last segment, we'll come to you with four more ways the Chargers need to win, four maybe more important ways that the Chargers could have a winning season. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. With all this civil unrest that is happening in the country right now, Los Angeles Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn came out with some very powerful comments. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. This week, Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn sat down with Los Angeles Times reporter LZ Granderson to talk about what the country is going through right now after the death of George Floyd, with the protests and all of the things that have come after that. And he had some very powerful comments. The first reason he said he sat down with LZ Granderson to do this was because he saw a lot of good statements. He said he read Brian Flores' statement from the Dolphins and 100% agreed. But he also said that he wanted to do something too. He didn't want to just put a statement out there because it's the right thing to do. He wants change. And he said that he wasn't happy with the end game of the protests and their plan to actually make a good change for the country, but that he was happy to get out there. And he said it was pretty intense and he saw a lot of passionate people and it felt as if they were marching for the right reasons. So David, this is more important to Anthony Lynn than many other coaches because he is one of the few African American coaches in the league, and he wanted to come out and not only support his players who are a majority of African Americans, but also to make this a better place for the future.
Yeah, and I think some much needed context was provided when LZ Granderson asked the next question. He said, you want to do something, but why? Maybe if you can identify the why, then you can identify what the next step should be. Anthony Lynn said, I'm glad you asked me that. I want to make this a better world for the next generation, and not just for minorities, but for everybody. I believe in diversity. I believe in inclusion. And if you believe in that, you can't just stand silent. You can't just stand on the sidelines and just watch. You got to say something, man. After that, he made more comments when he said, I haven't done anything to make this a better place for my son. I remember having that talk with him when he was 16 about how to handle police, and then at age 30, I called him up and just had that talk with him again because I'm so scared. I want to do something, but to be honest with you, I don't know what that is. I think Anthony Lynn right here shares the sentiments of a lot of people around. A lot of people are very angry, very upset. He doesn't just want passion, he wants change, Daniel.
He does want change, and he also just wants to put the spotlight on the fact that things aren't equal in this country right now, and the fact that the way that it's currently going is not working. He also talks about a time when he recently got pulled over, and the officer's question first to him was not, driver's license and registration. It was, have you been to jail or are you on parole? Which is just something that you don't have to deal with if you are a white person in America right now. It's not something that you have to think about right now. When he's talking about making this change for his son so his son can have a better life and doesn't have to potentially deal with these things, as opposed to him who is having to talk about these things almost 30 years after the Rodney King riots and after he saw LA burn to the ground, he said now he is watching it happen again. So that something has to be different. And I think that's just something that's important commentary, David, because the things that he's fighting for, the things that he's speaking out about so passionately are not something that everybody has to deal with. And I think him opening up and being vulnerable and talking about how his life is different than many other people is something that needs to be heard by everyone.
When it comes from such a prominent figure like Anthony Lynn, I think his words ring a little bit more true, a little bit more passionate. And he also said, I have a lot of great white friends, and I've said to them that sometimes I feel our biggest enemy in this fight is good white people, because they don't believe people can do things they do and be this evil. They just don't believe it. And I'm like, guys, you're so naive, and you're so naive because you're really good people. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but your naivety is hindering the cause. Anthony Lynn's basically saying that just because you don't see it and it doesn't happen to you, it does not mean that it is not happening to other people around the country. African Americans are getting profiled. They are getting treated differently. They are not getting the same opportunities that everyone else in this country should be getting. Nobody should be judged by the color of their skin. They should only be judged by the content of their character. I hope someday soon, Daniel, we get into a world where Colin Kaepernick's comments are not taken out of context. And that's another thing. Anthony Lynn went out on a limb and made some comments regarding the controversial quarterback.
He did. And he talked about how he has a lot of respect for that young man standing up for something outside of the big three, which for him are God, family, and football. And I have to say, social justice right now is challenging my priorities. Right now, I can't think of anything besides social justice. And this is just something you don't hear from NFL head coaches. You don't hear them standing up for Colin Kaepernick, because that is such a divisive topic in our country. And it's been a few years now, but he said that just the fact that it was really tough for him to know that Colin Kaepernick was a top 32 quarterback in the NFL, yet he still couldn't get signed. And for an African-American coach, that is such a tough position. I definitely want to commend him for being brave enough, not worrying about what the franchise behind him was going to say, and the Los Angeles Chargers have fully supported him, but going out and speaking his truth, no matter what the consequences could be. Because Anthony Lynn is saying, I'm angry, I'm pissed off, and I don't want to just put out a pretty statement. He's not afraid of stepping on people's toes. And he also talked about the fact that he would not kneel during the national anthem because of the members of his family who have served, but that he would kneel basically any other time. And right now, it's not Colin Kaepernick versus the United States. It's not Colin Kaepernick versus the armed services, but this is Colin Kaepernick standing up against police brutality. And I think no matter what side of the political spectrum that you stand on, you can understand that police brutality against anyone is something that we should all be against. And for him to come out and say this, even though he knows it might not be popular to everyone and it might make some people be less of a fan of Anthony Lynn, even though he's saying all the right things, was a very brave thing for him to do. But we do have two more segments to get into, trying to figure out how the Chargers can be a winning team this season, because obviously last year it was a disaster. But BoltBeat has come up with four ways the Chargers could be a winning team in 2020. But I also want to tell you guys that there's a better way to fix your car. I mean, with all the increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kias, etc., and different models, XT5, CS4, whatever the case may be, it's almost impossible to stock all of those parts in a traditional chain auto parts store. And right now, I can help you guys out because I have the best place for you to go get a new part for your car, and that is rockauto.com. There's so many times where you go to a mechanic and they want to fix your car, but they have to get the right part, and for them, it's much more expensive than what you would maybe pay. And I can change that for you with rockauto.com, because they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. You will never get swindled on the price of car parts again, because you guys can go to rockauto.com right now and see all of the parts they have available for your car or truck. I'm going to save you so much money on all of the car parts that you've been getting charged way too much for just by going to a website where they're going to help you find exactly what you need and send it to you cheaper. And when you make this purchase, because I'm sure I'm going to save you money soon on your car parts, make sure you write in Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you specifically Locked On Chargers, so they know that we sent you. But they have an amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, guys. Well, now I want to get into a fun segment talking about the ways the Chargers could have a winning team in 2020. And what inspired this was boltbeat.com coming out with their four biggest ways they think the Chargers for them to have a winning season. So first, we'll talk about their four reasons before getting into four reasons of our own. So first, we'll talk about their four ways before we get into our four ways the Chargers should beat. So first, we're going to get into their list, the top four ways they think the Chargers can have a winning season before getting into our own in the last segment of the show. But the number one thing that they came up with, and I think that's hard to argue with, is the offensive line. I mean, that's such a huge part and such a big big question mark going into the season. And some of the things they talk about are just the fact that Tyrod Taylor has way more turnovers and plays way worse when he is under pressure. One of the other BoltBeat articles that they mentioned in this gave a stat from his time with the Cleveland Browns that was in 42 dropbacks in which he was pressured, he had a 29.2 completion percentage with 2.4 yards per attempt in Cleveland. But the one thing they don't talk about as much, and I think is equally as important, is how important this offensive line is for the running game as well. And I know, obviously, they're going to have more turnovers if Tyrod Taylor is constantly under pressure, but it's not just about that, John. It's also about the fact that these guys are the players that are going to be opening up holes for your running back for a team that is going to be, as they say, more focused on the run and being a more run-heavy team.
Well, there are also a bunch of guys that are going to have to deal with a quarterback that scrambles a lot and could be rolling out a lot if they end up doing something along the lines of a play-action offense. That usually means a rolling out quarterback. So can that offensive line roll with the QB very well? They're going to be able to match where Tyrod Taylor goes, or even if it's Herbert. Herbert can do the same thing. If Herbert rolls out, is the offensive line rolling with him? And as well as you have a running game, you have three decent running backs, are they going to have holes to run through, or is you going to be running to the back of your own offensive lineman? This is a big key and probably the most important key, because in the trenches, that is where the game is won. You'll hear NFL coaches say it, fans say it, players say it. In the trenches, the game is won. And the offensive line are the most unappreciated players in the league. If the offensive line holds up, it don't matter who your quarterback is, you could probably do some damage with your running game. So I think it's important to make this the number one key.
Well, and I think you look at, you know, a situation like Dak Prescott fell into when he was starting in place of Tony Romo, who was injured, and just how well they were able to play with a really good offensive line and a really good running game. So I think the offensive line is obviously super important. The left side specifically is a side with huge question marks, whether it's Trey Pipkins, whether it's the Dan Feeney, Forrest Lamp battle that's going into the season, and neither one of those guys has really proven that they can be successful at the NFL level. So the offensive line is huge, and we've been talking about it for 10 years. Get Phillip Rivers an offensive line. Well, Phillip Rivers isn't here now, and I think the offensive line is probably more important now than it's ever been, because you don't have a guy that can kind of, you know, check out of things and get the Chargers into the best positions when he knows pressure is coming. So getting into the second thing that they brought up, David, was winning games while traveling east. What they say is the LA Chargers got the worst end of the stick with their 2020 schedule. All the team's toughest out-of-division games are played on the road, with the AFC West playing the AFC East and the NFC South. So the Chargers have not traveled well, as they talk about in this, and they're going to have to play a lot of big games away from home, even though, you know, they don't have a home field advantage or whatever. It's still statistically something they have struggled with. And when you look at the fact that they have Tampa Bay on the road, they have the New Orleans Saints on the road, they have the Buffalo Bills on the road, and they also have the Dolphins, who we don't know if they're going to be a good team, but the Chargers always struggle, as John Kegley has told you many times, traveling to Miami. So David, I think they bring up a good point here, because they're saying in those four games, you have to at least go 1-3 for, you know, to really count on a winning season. If you go 2-2, that's even better. But out of all the matchups on the Chargers schedule, that is going to be a very crucial slate, those four away from home games against the AFC East and the NFC South.
Yeah, and you don't really know what you're going to get with these teams either. A lot of changes, a lot of differences. Even the Dolphins are going to look a lot different. You know, most likely going to have Tua Tagovailoa as their starting quarterback, and they're probably going to have a new offense to cater around what he does. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are completely different with Tom Brady at the helm and Rob Gronkowski over there, and those already crazy good wide receivers that they have. And then, of course, you got to play your good old bloody Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, who are stacked on both sides of the ball. So, and then, I mean, not to mention the Buffalo Bills, who were a playoff team last year. So a lot of really tough teams. Even if you didn't have to travel, these would be tough games. And now that you have to travel, and you have to travel this far to the East Coast, it does not instill confidence that the Chargers are going to be able to come out of those four games with more wins than losses. But I agree with the sentiment that they have to go at least 1-3. I think it's possible. I think they could easily go 2-2. Honestly, the Chargers defense can keep them in any game, but I think they could potentially beat Miami, and I think they could absolutely beat Buffalo as well.
It's doable, but the biggest thing is if you go 0-4 in those games, it's going to be really tough to have a winning season. And another thing that's going to be super important that we've talked about all the time is the play of the cornerbacks, because the Chargers have one big question mark as far as their starting cornerback trio out of Chris Harris Jr., Michael Davis, and Casey Hayward, at least the way that we see it playing out right now. And that's Michael Davis. But there are other big things that he talks about in this. I mean, specifically the fact that Chris Harris Jr. is coming off of his worst season, and then Casey Hayward is on the wrong side of 30. And also, we've seen cornerbacks, like they mentioned in this, Darrell Revis and other guys like that, that have just had it all really catch up to them in a snap. And I think those are definite concerns, John. I think that's part of the reason, you know, we were advocating so hard for the Chargers to go out and get somebody, not just because of, you know, those top three guys, but what if somebody gets hurt? Obviously, the depth is a huge issue. But how these corners play, I mean, getting a bounce back year from Chris Harris Jr., which hopefully we can see if he's playing primarily out of the slot, and Michael Davis coming out and performing, as well as Casey Hayward, you know, being able to maintain his level of play, that is incredibly important.
It is incredibly important. I don't know if you remember, like, 4 or 5 years ago when we were sitting here going, God, if we just had a pass rush, we have such great corners, we could be getting interceptions. Well, now it's the roles kind of flipped. We've got a pass rush now. Now, can the corners cover? That's something we were lacking a little bit last year. If the corners cover, pass rush has a chance to get there. Whereas before it was the corners are covering, but the pass rush isn't there, so the quarterback has forever to throw. People are getting open. You got Casey Hayward and Chris Harris Jr., Desmond King, Derwin James. You got all these guys. You can hold it down. It's just, will they play their potential? If you just hold them down for at least 4 seconds, just get to 4 seconds, the pass rush will get there. If the corners are letting them go within 2 seconds, it's going to be a long year for this defense. It's despite all the talent we have, there's not much you can do if someone's getting open within the first 2 seconds of after a snap. So the corners playing big and jamming and being in their spots is going to be huge this year.
And how many times have we seen Chargers, you know, soft coverage, whether it's because of scheme or the guys they have back there, and leading to so many easy completions? And I think that drastically affected the pass rush, just not being able to trust those guys in the back end to be able to hold up. And I think Derwin James' injury was part of that as well. And a huge regression from Desmond King played a big part of it too. But the last thing they mentioned on here, David, is the AFC West. And that's something that we've talked about on multiple occasions. You have to play well inside of your division, or you're just going to have no shot, because you're not only hurting your own team, but you're bolstering the record of the rest of the division. And they talk about in this that they don't think the Chargers will beat the Chiefs in either one of those games. I would tend to agree with that. I mean, I know their defense is good, but we saw what they were able to do in like 5 seconds against, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL last year with the San Francisco 49ers. At the end of the day, you're going to have to keep up to some extent. But they say that they have to either sweep the Broncos or the Raiders, because if you're going 0-2 against the Kansas City Chiefs, if you want to go 3-3 in the division, you're going to have to sweep one of those teams. And I think for the Chargers last year, when you go 0-6, you know, they said the only way to go is up, and that is true. But if you're going to have a positive record inside this division, David, your focus really has to be on those four games against the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders, because those are the four games you have the best shot at winning.
And it's completely unacceptable that you go 0-6 in your division. It's incredible that they were able to accomplish that horrendous feat last year, and a big tell on why they ended the season with the record that they did. They have to do better against those teams, and there are opportunities. The Chargers can beat both of those teams. They made some improvements. The Raiders signed a whole slew of guys and had a million draft picks as well. The Broncos added some more weapons on the offensive side, but I think are a little weak on the defensive side. Crazy to hear that, but, you know, that's my opinion there. They have to do better. They absolutely have to. I think their best opportunity is to beat the Raiders twice. I think it's very doable. And it just, they can't get anywhere close to 0-6, Daniel. It doesn't really require a lot of commentary other than you have to beat up against the teams you see the most.
Right, and it's also just, I mean, how like good it would be for the season if the Chargers were able to sweep both of those teams. I mean, if you're able to go 4-2 in a division that has the Kansas City Chiefs, whether you're beating them or not, is definitely something that you have to do when you have a juggernaut in your own division. So I think that's all very important. I think it's something the Chargers will have to do. And all of these games that they've dropped in the division over the last few seasons, we have seen that come back to haunt them on countless occasions. You have two teams in the division that are on their way up, but two very beatable teams, and you're going to have to take care of business in those games to be able to come out of the year with a winning record, which is what we're trying to accomplish with this segment. But we do have four more ways the Chargers could have a winning season coming up after this. But first, I need to tell you guys about the best protein bar on the planet. And of course, I am talking about Built Bar. They come with 20 different flavors to choose from, and they're all 100% covered in chocolate and soft and easy to chew. All of these protein bars not only taste great, but they're packed with protein. And whether you're trying to gain weight or lose weight, if you're health conscious, you can get what you need from BuiltBar.com. And the only thing better than getting all of those things is getting those things at a discounted rate. And right now, we have an offer for you guys because you can save $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. So in the last segment, we talked about the four ways Bolt Beat thinks that the Chargers can have a winning season. So we wanted to come up with four particular things of our own that could help the Chargers get to a 9-7 record or better. And they're things that they didn't specifically talk about in the first segment. They kind of talked about this one, and it was turnovers. But what they mainly focused on was how they can keep Tyrod Taylor from turning the ball over. So Tyrod Taylor, when he had a good offensive line in Buffalo, was much better. He did not turn the ball over. And, you know, historically speaking, he's one of the best ever at not turning the ball over. But one of the things that didn't focus on, David, was just the turnover margin as well as forcing turnovers, because that's a huge part of the equation. The Chargers have been really bad as far as their turnover differential over the past few seasons, and that is going to be a huge part of it. So I appreciate the fact that they're talking about how can we make Tyrod Taylor not turn the ball over. But the other big part of the conversation, David, is how do you win the turnover battle in general, and how do you force those turnovers to do it?
And the Chargers need to do a much, much better job of taking the ball away and not giving it away. Their turnover ratio was 31st in the league at minus 17. 31 giveaways, only 14 takeaways. That is absolutely horrendous. It is horrible. I cannot believe it. I mean, I know I watched the season last year, but I can't. Like, when you see the numbers like this, where you see that their turnover margin per game was negative 1.1, it really puts it in perspective how bad they were and how much that contributed to them not winning football games. I mean, when you get more turnovers, you get more opportunities for your offense, you have more scoring plays, you get shorter fields. It just makes your life much, much easier on the football field. It helps you win games. The Chargers didn't do themselves any favors in this. They have to be better.
And I think one of the things that will help them do that is having a healthy Derwin James, who is, you know, a big-time playmaker that not only, you know, can get interceptions himself, but he can blitz and force turnovers that way as well. And I think that was one of the biggest reasons they didn't get as many turnovers last year, is just because their pass rush was abysmal. Their two players on the outside are great in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, but, you know, like you said, John, other teams are able to throw the ball in 2 seconds, it doesn't really matter how good your pass rush is. And I think the Chargers ran into that again against the New England Patriots, where you have Joey Bosa running behind Tom Brady and saying, you know, hold on to the ball a little bit longer, would you? You know what I mean? So I think it's not only getting a better pass rush that can really help that, John, but like me and you have talked about before the show, is one of the ways to do that, and one of the things that's going to be so important this season, is having a great game plan, which is something we just haven't seen from the Chargers, especially last season.
Yes, you got to have a game plan that works with your players and with your situation. You can't just always be this one type of game calling type of coach. Like last year, we kept sitting back and dropping into a zone and letting four guys rush. Very little blitzing. It was the same thing over and over again. You weren't playing to your strengths or trying something new while you were losing. You got to have a better game plan, and defensively that helps, but offensively it's going to be even bigger. You have Tyrod Taylor at QB. You no longer have Phillip Rivers, who can throw really well with pressure in his face, who's going to play every game of the season, regardless of an injury, who's going to be your vocal leader. You have Tyrod Taylor, the new guy, and you have Herbert if he ends up playing. So you got to have an offense that works for him. Tyrod and Herbert are not your sit in the pocket and throw 40 times a game. You're going to have to use them with play action and running the ball a lot. If you're not doing that, you're not setting your team up for success. So game planning is going to be huge for this team. You have to use your players the way they're designed to be used, or you're just going to lose every single game, no matter how much talent you have.
And I think kind of a subset of that is just getting the best players on the field too, right? I mean, that's a huge part of game planning. It's a huge part of coaching. You have some chess pieces right now that have been sitting on the sideline that could get in there and make a difference. But the next thing I want to get into, David, is something that you brought up, which is just as important as everything else on this list, and maybe more important than any of those things, which is health. And that has been something that the Chargers continually get snake bitten by every season, seemingly. And we all know that, you know, any of the last 15, 14 seasons with Phillip Rivers could have been nuked by a preseason training camp injury to Phillip Rivers. So any season, no matter how good the roster is, can be bombed by just a couple of injuries. And the Chargers should know that better than ever. They went into last season not having their star safety or their starting left tackle. They went into the season before that without one of the best edge rushers in the entire NFL. And they also lost one of the best pass catching tight ends that year as well in Hunter Henry. So David, it doesn't matter how good the game plan is. It doesn't matter, you know, if you force turnovers or any of those things, if you can't have a really good roster on the field. And I think when you're talking about the Chargers specifically, health is something that has to come to the forefront when you're talking about a successful season.
I mean, how could it not? I mean, they've been hampered with so many injuries, not just injuries, but significant injuries to guys like you mentioned, Joey Bosa, Derwin James, Hunter Henry. Those guys you mentioned, those are key cornerstone type players, and those are guys that are not easily replaced. But part of building your roster, Daniel, is providing quality depth. And I think Tom Telesco did a great job of doing a better job of accumulating quality depth. He went out and grabbed Nick Vigil. He re-signed Damian Square. He got Ryan Groy. Some of these guys that are just going to help just in case one of these guys go down. Although, there are still question marks about depth because, I mean, if one of your corners goes down, it could be a catastrophe, Daniel. And it's something that I think they're just not fully equipped to handle yet. They've done a good job, but the work is not done.
And we've talked about that too. I mean, there's a potential for, at one point, your outside corners could be Michael Davis and Brandon Faison if Desmond King or if Chris Harris Jr. is in the slot. And that's something that, even if you feel highly about the corners they have right now, is a definite issue. If Trey Pipkins goes down, who they are, you know, so confident in, but now you have Sam Tevier or Trent Scott there, which are, you know, could be potentially even worse than Trey Pipkins. So I think they've done a better job of adding depth while still not being quite fully there yet. But getting into the last thing I want to talk about, John, especially for a team with the Chargers who is bringing in a new starting quarterback, who has a bunch of new coaches, who has a bunch of new pieces on the offensive line and on the defense, is chemistry. I mean, we know how big of a part chemistry is for the Chargers and every other team, because we've seen so many talented rosters from the Chargers in the past that just really didn't get it done. I think that's partially due to chemistry, and I think the Chargers are going to have the biggest task on their hands this year with all of the new additions, Brian Bulaga, Trey Turner, Chris Harris Jr., Nick Vigil, all of these guys, so many new additions, plus the guys that they drafted. Chemistry, John, is going to be a huge part for the Chargers this season as far as if they're successful or not.
Chemistry is going to play a huge role in this team, and it's going to do it in every single position, too. It's not just going to be the quarterback or the offensive line. It's going to be every position. There's this really special thing with chemistry where you're able to know what your other teammate over here is going to do without having to look at him or say anything. You know what he's going to do. You know where he's going to be, and it makes
everything. I think everything it's a trust thing, too. Like,
it is. It works so well when it happens. If you don't have chemistry, you're constantly worried about two things at once and you can't get it done. So, for example, if you're on the offensive line and you don't trust that the running back or the guard or center next to you or whatever it's going to be is going to pick up the guy blitzing, you're going to try to pick up your guy and the guy blitzing. And next thing you know, there's two guys in the backfield going after the QB because you don't know which one to go after. But with chemistry, you know that you got your guy and you know the guy next to you or behind you has the other guy. It's the same thing with corners and safeties. If you know you have a guy over the top from you, you can let that wide receiver go deep and you can go cover the flat. Just like that, two guys are covered versus one guy getting open deep or another guy getting open in the flat. You have two guys covered. The quarterback, it's real simple just to go 1, 2, 3, throw, and you could throw it 10 yards ahead of your receiver because you know he's going to be at that spot at that time. And you got 10 yards just like that without having to wait for him to get open because you knew he was going to be open. You threw him open. Without chemistry, none of that happens. And now you got a pocket that has to last 6 seconds. You have to hope that two corners and a safety are all on the same page and not giving up the deep ball. It's a big mess without chemistry.
100%. I mean, I think chemistry and trust will be such a huge thing because even, I mean, going to linebackers, if you don't know that that other guy is going to be covering the gap that you're not responsible for and you're worried about someone else's responsibility, you're just not going to be able to play up to the level that you should be able to. And I think it's going to be such a big key for this season. And I think at the end of the day, if the Chargers can even come through with 6 out of 8 of these that we've come up with, or 5 out of 8 of these, they have a good chance of having a winning record. But for the Chargers this season, where you don't have Phillip Rivers to fall back on, none of those things are a given. You just don't know exactly what you're going to get. But if the Chargers are able to check off all of these boxes, they're going to put themselves in the best position to have a winning season in 2020. And I think for the Chargers, the only way to have a successful season is to have a winning season, to make the playoffs, to go win a playoff game. I think those are the expectations even with Tyrod Taylor right now, and we're just giving them a couple of hints so they can get the job done. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys on Friday, all three of us, to get into much more. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify and rating and reviewing. We would really appreciate it. We need one more voicemail call to have a voicemail show. The number is 323-524-7924, and every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. We will be back with you guys on Friday. Thank you for listening to today's show, but until then, take it easy and go Bolts.